about.
Hey, fellas, knock off all that high society crap and play some of this. 1, 2, 3, 4.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey, it's Joe. You're going to want to hear this, man. You're dying to hear this. I'm changing my name to Bob Toe. So what do you think about that? Because change it to a Caucasian name, because I'm thinking, yeah, because I'm thinking about changing my name to Bob Toe.
The one called Smelly Hippie is right.
And now,
AM radio is a viable and modern source for news and entertainment.
Totally.
I used to be number one in this town, but people don't listen to AM like they used to. Seems like it's more about FM and color TV.
That's stupid.
It sure is, Kevin.
Our feature presentation.
Come on now. Remember when Doto changed his name to Bob Toe?
How long did that stick?
I feel like maybe that one call.
That was it.
But here's the odd thing is that he kept the last half of his name.
Yeah.
His name is Doto.
Mm-hmm.
So then he changed it to Bob Toe.
Yeah.
Now, Bob Toe isn't exactly an American name. It's
not as Caucasian as he thought it was.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even think it's a name at all.
No, it's just a name and a body part, really.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm not positive that that was effective for him.
Yeah.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday morning, the 14th of September. I'd like to start today with a story about a bank robber.
Okay. Oh.
Oh, no.
Kevin. Really?
What?
Okay.
Why? Wait, why did you say that?
It's not going to be the one and he waits because he doesn't want to go home.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Okay.
No.
All right.
No. I'd like to tell you a story about a sickle. A sickle and a penis.
No. They were neighbors?
This is a unique bank robber situation.
It was a sight so stunning, people pulled out their cell phones to capture it.
Okay. That's a good start, right?
Yeah.
Everybody standing around is like, I got to get some pictures of this.
A man running down the busiest parts of Las Olas Boulevard, stark naked.
Oh.
So now, here's one of my questions, is that the guy is running down a very, very busy street mm-hmm. on the sidewalk.
Okay.
Completely naked.
Right.
Why are you right out in the middle of where everybody can see you? Why would you choose that as your route, unless you wanted everybody to see you, if you're an exhibition?
This is after he's robbed a bank, or this is just randomly?
Well, I mean, they haven't said yet.
Okay.
We'll get to that.
Well, he's an exhibitionist, obviously. But
that's what I think, yeah.
Dropping $50 and $100 bills behind him.
I guess he must have run down the street, mm-hmm. all the way down, because, I mean, he came up this way, right?
That's a man on the street interview, which are always great.
Always the best.
The guy saw it. And he said he robbed a bank,
mm-hmm.
and then he, for some reason, took off all his clothes and made a run for it.
Okay, so he didn't rob the bank naked.
No, no, no. He was fully clothed.
Okay.
Robbed the bank,
mm-hmm.
took off all his clothes. Why?
Well, you can figure out who robbed the bank by what he's wearing. He's wearing jeans and a pig t-shirt. Not sure what the pig t-shirt is.
I'm not sure why he has a pig t-shirt, but okay.
Dennis Toledo had a clear view of the nudity Tuesday afternoon as he worked this valet post at a city parking lot.
Now, here's what I like. It's a nudity story, not a bank robbing story
right.
to her.
It's totally switched.
But forget about the bank robbery. Let's just focus on the nude guy.
We saw someone running down from that end of the street. Or jogging. I guess he wasn't fully running.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, really, sir.
Maybe
let's
it was quarter,
not judge him.
Maybe it was a quarter speed.
Yeah.
I don't know. Was he at top speed? I doubt it.
Why is he judging?
I don't know. And I don't know why he's hung up all of a sudden.
Like, does no one care? He just robbed a bank.
All she wants to talk about is the nudity. And all he wants to talk about right so far is at
his
what speed he's going. I don't know. A third, maybe a fourth as fast as he can go. He could probably step it up.
This way.
This is bizarre.
All right. Now, that's a guy in a car.
Yeah. Man on the street in the car.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who has his phone out and he's mm-hmm. recording video.
Okay.
And he's driving down this huge street and the guy is running naked.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they have to blur out the whole thing so you can't really see.
How big was the blur?
You know, anything. The blur was too big. It blurred his whole body.
Ah.
Right?
Stupid.
That's over blurring.
Yeah. I always judge by how big the pixelation is.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
According to the FBI, the man without any clothes is 25-year-old Alexander Sperber. They say he robbed the Regions Bank on Southeast 3rd Avenue in downtown Fort Lauderdale.
All right. Well, again, why did he take off his clothes? You're wrong. Your first guess is wrong.
Oh, maybe the dye pack got all over his clothes?
At the time, he was fully clothed. He's accused of demanding cash from the teller, claiming he had a weapon, although it doesn't appear he was armed. The teller reportedly put a dye pack in his bag with the money.
Nice.
Yeah, thank you.
Nice guess.
Thank you.
And that dye pack explodes, so the money's covered with it, and the bank robber is covered in it.
And when he went running, it exploded, prompting him to remove his clothes.
It's because when I initially saw him, I thought that he was maybe a...
Back to the valet, by the way.
Right.
Yeah, now we're talking to the valet guy again.
Yeah.
He's questioning his top speed.
Mental patient or something like that. But then when I heard about the bank robbery, I thought that was even more shocking.
Yeah, this is a great interview with him. I hope he gets his own series. I hope he gets a spinoff from this.
And I thought it could have been dangerous.
Right?
Mm.
I mean, maybe he could have got hit by a car or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Investigators say he jogged for blocks through town, dropping cash on the streets and in the bushes.
Now, here's my question. So he's running through town for blocks.
Mm-hmm.
But he's running right down a major street where everyone can see him and videotape him and call if they want to. Why not go off the main street?
Listen, I don't...
Why not hide? Why not jump in a backyard?
I don't know how the streets are set up in this town.
Right.
Maybe this is the quickest way out. And he knew to get to another street, he just had to go down this main one for a bit.
Or... He's not that smart.
Dong.
Yeah.
As he startled drivers and shoppers... Police eventually caught up with him a block south of Las Olas Boulevard and 8th Avenue. One person who didn't record the spectacle, Dennis Toledo.
All right, now we go back. Now we go back to the valet, and she's upset because Dennis Toledo, the valet,
didn't record.
Didn't record it on his phone. And by the way, I have the same question. Who doesn't?
Well,
these days.
He was too busy judging his top speed.
These days.
Yeah.
Honestly, if something happens, isn't that your first instinct?
Usually,
I need to get out my phone and videotape.
Yeah.
It has to happen because...
If I see a guy running naked down the street,
right.
I'm absolutely videotaping.
Right, you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Dennis is lazy.
Yeah.
He's lazy.
I just wasn't interested.
That's the end of the story.
No.
Yeah, that's it. He was arrested, and she ended with the fact that the valet just wasn't all that interested in the story. So that's why he didn't get out his phone. He didn't video the guy.
So that money is just, it's useless. If you find that money in the bushes that he threw it in.
If it's got the blue dye on it. Yeah, I think it is.
Aww.
I think it is, yeah. But dropping 50s and 100s as he's running naked down the middle of the street.
Well, where would he put it?
That's right, exactly. Where's he going to hold it? You can only hold so much there, right?
Where? What?
Well, you know.
Okay.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Is anybody buying this polished turd?
Hopefully.
A couple
of people. We have Dr. Drew on the show today. We're going to ask him why I am the smartest man alive.
I don't think that's really the angle.
I'm going to ask him that.
You think it is.
Well, I mean, science thinks it is. Does science think it is?
A little bit.
I'll take it. Jimmy Tatro, the star of American Vandal, is going to be in studio today. Excited about that. We talked to Jim Rome about sports. Are the Dodgers worried, or should they be?
They won last night.
Are the Rams for real? Right? See, turn the curse. That's
yeah,
what
we reversed the curse. I think they won last night. They were winning when I went to bed.
Are the Rams for real? What about the Chargers?
Did anyone know?
I mean, unless you're going to look, stop talking about it.
Okay, I'm
because
sure
we're not making any progress.
I feel like maybe Beer Mug's in the other room. He could let us know.
Yeah, but he's not listening.
Okay.
So, you know?
They won.
Okay, good. Ralph's going to tell us about a bizarre photographer that I don't want any part of. This is one of the weirdest things I've ever heard. And we've got your tickets for Prophets of Rage at the HD Radio Sound Space here at K-Rock.
Amazing.
And we're going to give those away in the 6 o'clock hour, so I'm going to give you a heads up right now. In about a half hour, at about 6:15, we're going to do Listener Oki.
Oh.
Yes, so you have to call and you have to sing one of your favorite songs. And you can choose Rage Against the Machine if you want. You can choose Prophets of Rage if you want.
Okay.
You can choose Cypress Hill
sure.
if you want. And you can choose...
Public Enemy.
Thank you.
Okay.
What did you say?
Chumbawamba.
I knew I could count on Chip.
Yeah.
So we're going to do that in about 30 minutes. So get that ready if you'd like to win those tickets. That is next Thursday, I want to say, the 21st of September. We'll take a break. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show.
I mean.
It's 553.
We'll tighten that gap right up between the K and the R. No, it'll sound very fluid
when we get on the air.
When we're done with the editing.
It was traumatic, though.
It was.
Wasn't sure what was coming next.
K-R-O-Q.
I just came running in from outside because Omar told me my lights were on. So I had to run out and turn off my lights. So that's good news.
Good episode.
Good story, too.
I'm doing good work.
I'd like to buy the rights to that.
Yeah, get the film rights on that one.
5:54, time for our first look at the show. This beat, here's Ralph.
It's film rights, Allie. It's not just rights. Come on.
Damn it.
Maybe she wants to write a book.
Maybe I want to write a book.
You have to read one first. Oh, snap!
How did it turn on me?
Don't dip your toe in these sordid waters.
You're right. Lose a toe.
Sad news. Looks like drummer and co-lead singer of the influential American indie band Husker Du has died. Husker Du, Kevin, of course, means...
What's the meaning to all of this? What's it all about?
Right, what's it all about? Grant Hart has passed away at the age of 56. He had been battling cancer, apparently, and sadly has passed away. Husker Du, of course, band out of Minneapolis.
Yes, Allie, she has her hand up.
I know
yes.
what it means.
Oh, you do? What's it mean, Allie?
Do you remember?
Do you remember? Let's test. Let's see if that's what it means or not.
Husker Du. In Denmark, Husker Du means, do you remember?
That's what it means, Allie, in Denmark.
Putting that in the win column. It's pretty close. It was pretty close.
What's the meaning of all this?
Husker Du, of course, one of the most influential punk and rock bands. People like Dave Grohl have cited them as enormous influences, and they worked with a lot of bands. So sad news is Grant Hart passes away at the age of 56. It's official. Scarlett Johansson is single and looking to mingle.
Okay.
Kevin, here's your shot. She's officially divorced from husband number two, Romain Doriac. I didn't even know she was married to a guy named Romain Doriac, by the way. What's he? What's he? Some kind of businessman or something?
Yeah, was he like a billionaire Russian guy or something?
I don't know. Apparently they have a three-year-old daughter together. They have a three-year-old daughter together.
Oh.
Named Rose Dorothy. I didn't know any of these things about Scarlett Johansson.
Same.
This is her second marriage, of course. You know, her first marriage, she was married to? Kevin?
Ryan Reynolds.
Wow.
Nice.
Look at that.
Is that right?
Yes.
It is right, yes. Seems like a long time ago. More sad news. Sorry to bring it to you, but I gotta. Frank Vincent, very talented actor Frank Vincent, has passed away. You certainly know him from The Sopranos and from Goodfellas. Good-looking Italian guy, big head of white hair. Billy Batts was the character he played in Goodfellas. Allie loves Billy Batts.
Oh, the shine box
guy. Go home and get your shine box.
Aww.
Yeah. He always played mobsters. He was in Raging Bull, Casino, Pope of Greenwich Village, Wise Guys, and also worked with Spike Lee in his movies Do the Right Thing and Jungle Fever.
Hmm.
Has passed away at the age of 78. So that's sad news. You know what else is sad?
Really, Ralph?
Man.
That Jennifer Lawrence watches reality television.
Oh. Oh, we thought she was perfect.
Yeah.
She's got an addiction to Real Housewives. I know. Mm. Even if you're going to watch reality television, Real Housewives?
Yeah, I'm not going there.
That's a deal breaker. She said to Jimmy Fallon when she was on the Tonight Show that she was horrified and shocked to hear that Luann and Tom had divorced after just 7 months of wedded bliss.
Oh, no.
Yeah. She says, see, it's a drinking game, she says, when she watches Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. She makes everyone drink their drink down when Lisa Rinna calls her husband by his full name, Harry Hamlin, which apparently she does pretty regularly. So that's kind of funny.
I mean, you could, if you say drinking game, you can sort of get away with anything.
Yeah, you can watch
that's true.
Anything for sure.
Congratulations to Rebel Wilson from Pitch Perfect. She was in court in Australia because she said that she was defamed by a couple articles in magazines that were published down there. Calling her a serial liar. They said Rebel Wilson always lies about her age, her first name, her upbringing in Sydney. She claimed those things weren't true, so she took them to court and was awarded the biggest damages in Australian history for such a case. $3.6 million.
Yeah.
Wow. Why doesn't awarded. Someone lie about me?
Yeah.
We do, Kevin, all the time.
Oh, that's right. I do.
The judge says the damages were because of the opportunity for new screen roles and her standing as a professional were lost because of the defendant's publications. I can see that. You might think twice about hiring a person if you think they're a serial liar.
Yeah.
And he said that unless substantial damages are awarded, there's a real risk that the public will not be convinced of the seriousness of the defamation.
I read somewhere that she could have settled for like $800,000. Offered. And they were like, no, take us to court. Like, she's
we'll
F you, it's on.
If you just pay me $800,000, they're like, no, we're going to take you to court and we're going to win $3.6 million.
Awesome.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Andrew Lincoln, 43 years old today. Sam Neill, very talented actor, 69. Nas. Nas.
It's just Nas.
Nas. Nahas.
It's not Nahas, I know that.
43 years old today. Actress Melissa Leo, Oscar winner, Melissa Leo. And my co-star from Red State, before she became a big star and stopped talking to me. 47 years old. Actor Dan Cortez is 50 years old. And it says here, the sexiest man alive, beer mug.
I'm sorry?
Celebrates his birthday. The sexiest man alive, it says here.
Does it say it next to beer mug's name?
Right next to beer mug.
Is it like written in your marker?
It says, actor Sam Neill, here's the sexiest man alive, beer mug.
How old?
34.
Then it's not ours, right? Can't be.
Because he's... Late 40s, like, easily.
I thought 52 today. Oh, hey, happy birthday.
Guys, that's not nice.
Don't be the 1%, man. Be the 99.
Good point.
Peace.
Happy birthday, beer mug. I'm Ralph Cameron. I walk the show as beer.
Next Thursday, a week from today, Prophets of Rage is coming to the HD Radio Sound Space here at K-Rock.
That's great.
That's going to be fantastic. Yeah. So we're doing a game where you call in and you can sing or rap a song from Prophets of Rage, from Cypress Hill, from Rage Against the Machine, or from Public Enemy. You can take your choice, but bring it.
Yeah.
Bring it. Because if there's a clear favorite, you win. And if there's not, then we'll do a drawing of everybody that tries. It's Listener Oki.
Listener Oki, Listener Oki. That's the game we're going to play. Listener Oki, Listener Oki. Come and sing and don't be lame.
All right. Let's start with Rosa in L.A. Hi, Rosa.
Hi.
Number's 1-800-520-1067. What are you going to do for us today?
Hey, so I was going to do Dr. Green Thumb, but I'm actually going to do Throw Your Set in the Air.
Oh, all right. Wow. Flipping the script. Go ahead.
All right. Every brother out there want to be down with the crew. Some ain't got enough heart. Let me ask you this. Would you be down like a soldier? Loyal. Told you everything I told you. I can mold you into a warrior. Down for your neighborhood. Working up to a G with the flavor. Criminal behavior on your mind. When I got your back, you know I got your back each and every time.
Come on. How about that?
In the air.
All right. Okay.
Rosa's not stopping. Okay, I told her to bring it. She's bringing it.
She's bringing it.
She is not stopping,
That's
Kevin.
That's fantastic, Rosa. Thank you.
Awesome.
Hold on. All right. Let's go to Frank in Wilmington. Hi, Frank.
What's up, guys?
What song are you going to do?
I'm going to do a Bullet in the Head.
All right. Perfect for this time of morning. Let's hear you.
This time the bullet called Foxia. Yellow ribbon instead of a swastika. Nothing talks about your propaganda. Who follows when the set commander said it was blue when the blood ran red. That's how you got the blue to black through your head. Black through your head. Black through your head.
All right, Frank.
Shout out.
All right, Frank. I think that was really good, but your phone was cutting out. But from what I could hear, really good.
Thank you.
All right. So hold up. How come when he talks, it's fine?
I think he might have been holding it a little farther away,
so he could spit rhymes?
He's got to spit freely. Right. If I know Frank, that's what he was doing.
Let's go to Norman in Glendale. Hi, Norman.
Hello.
We're doing Listener Oki. What song are you going to do?
I'm going to be doing Bring the Noise.
Bring the Noise. Fantastic.
Yo, bass. How low can you go? Death Row. What a brother know. Once again, back is the incredible, the rhyme animal, the incredible, the Public Enemy number one. 5-0 said freeze, and I got numb. Can I tell them that I never really had a gun? But it's a wax, it's a Terminator X fun. Now they got me in the cell because a brother like me said, well,
all right.
Eric has a profit.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Norman.
Yeah, he went old school.
He did.
I liked it.
All right, let's go to Louis in El Monte. Hi.
Good morning.
Hi. What song are you going to do for us?
I'm going to do Killing in the Name of.
Excellent.
Ali, give me some beats.
Louis, this is
on,
all
give
you,
him
but
some
I
beats.
I just,
Some of those that were forces are the same that burn crosses. And now you do what they told you. And now they do what they told you.
I love that so much.
Keep going, Louis. I need more.
Hold on, the highway patrol is behind me.
Oh no!
Oh, no!
I'm kidding.
Okay. All right, take it easy. I'm going to put you on hold.
I mean, he's just doing what I told him.
I mean, seriously, that's true. All right, let's do one more. Let's go to Joanna in Los Angeles. Hi, Joanna.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. You're going to do what?
110.
Oh, living on the 110. Okay. Little profits for age.
110, sharing 110, can't afford no rent, forgotten by the government, feels like time, stuck and stuck down, waiting for the right time, running out of luck now, and it's a damn shame. See it from the fast lane, living in the jungle, tent city struggle. You drive by, see the families camped out by the underpass, you've got your blinders on, you want gas and hit the gas.
All right, okay. Thank you, Joanna.
Thank you.
Okay, this was really good. Wasn't sure she was going to make it through. All right. Do we do a drawing, or do you have a clear favorite?
Yeah, probably do a drawing.
What are you leaning toward?
I mean, Louie brought it with a little funny, but Rosa wrapped some serious stuff.
See, I was thinking Rosa.
Okay.
So let's do a drawing between Rosa and Louie. How about that?
Well,
that way.
Now I need to find the scraps with their names on it, you dick. Okay. All right. So between Rosa and Louis?
Yes, between Rosa and Louis, as they are the best two, but we can't pick just one.
Rosa.
Rosa. Congratulations. Rosa.
This is going well.
Rosa.
Rosa? You there? You won.
Yay! Thank you for playing.
Listen to Rokey, listen to Rokey. Thanks for playing our game. Listen to Rokey, listen to Rokey. You suck and we're lame.
A little bit later on this morning, we have Jim Rome talking sports. We've got Dr. Drew, and we've got the star of American Vandal, new movie, Jimmy Tatro in studio as well.
If you haven't seen the trailer for that movie, go now. American Vandal.
Not now, but maybe in a few minutes.
Fine.
Right. Because we got to talk about this symposium that's going on.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to miss this.
In New Jersey, Monmouth University is having a conference, and the theme is Hard Truths in Hard Rock Settings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's held next year, April 12th to 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And they are doing one on Bruce Springsteen's Darkness on the Edge of Town.
Oh.
So they're going to use that as the theme, and then they're going to have an international conference.
Wow.
Bruce Springsteen's Darkness on the Edge of Town, an international symposium.
Yeah. Live acts, keynote addresses by critics, figures from the music industry, all focused on Bruce and
that
album.
You can send in possible subjects, Springsteen and the American roots music tradition, Springsteen and citizenship, Springsteen on war. There's all kinds of different topics that they're accepting. Mm-hmm. And then you go to this international symposium next year, and you get to study Bruce Springsteen for a weekend. That sounds kind of cool.
I like it.
So we thought we would check in with the boss himself.
Wow.
And find out what he thinks about it. Hi, Bruce.
Hey, Kevin Bean. How are you guys doing?
We're good. Hey. How are you today?
I'm good. Always good to hear from you.
Well, we're excited. We saw in the news that there's going to be an international symposium, a weekend of learning about you.
I got to tell you, you know, I've been lucky.
Uh-huh.
I've had a lot of great things happen to me in my life, mm-hmm. but whenever something happens that's connected to higher learning or academia, that's always a special thrill for me because, sure. you know, I'm just a guy from Jersey. I went to Freehold High School, and I went to Ocean County College for like a minute, and then I dropped out.
Right.
So to have a school like Monmouth, take a look at my work as something that's worthy of serious discussion. I got to tell you, it's a real special honor.
Yeah, for sure. And, of course, being in New Jersey, that's huge, too.
Yeah, I mean, Monmouth was a place I could only dream about going when I was in high school.
Sure.
And, you know, it's crazy. I remember back when I was young, and college seemed like something that was just completely out of reach for me, and I decided I didn't have much time for it anyway. I was going to put my eyes on making a living, making music.
Sure.
The first experience really I had with college was when I was in New York City trying to work the clubs. Mm-hmm. I'd come in from Jersey, and I started dating a girl, went to NYU. We started seeing each other, and she said, "You know what, I really want to spend more time with these college boys. I got no time for a guy who's just trying to make a living playing guitar," and so she dumped me.
Oh, wow, that's rough.
I remember being so angry.
Yeah.
But I left her dorm and went down to the subway to catch the subway, and I was just feeling so much anger.
Right.
That's when I saw that old woman standing there by the subway platform, and as the train was coming in, I just couldn't resist the urge. I just pushed her onto the track.
Oh, Bruce.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, you did.
I just remember the sound of the train rolling over her body.
And you didn't. That's not true.
It sounded like a ham being cut with a cleaver in a butcher shop.
No.
Over and over again.
That didn't happen.
God damn it. Why is it always burning?
Why is it always murder? Come on, Bruce.
I couldn't help but notice as I looked around that there was this homeless guy who had seen the whole thing.
Right.
Leaving witnesses behind didn't seem too smart.
Oh,
so
no.
Bruce.
That's when I went over and grabbed a wire trash can. And I took his head and started to grate him against the wire trash can. Like a cheese grater.
Gross.
Why does it have to be gross as well? Make it a clean kill.
Well, you got to work with what you have.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, LA and OC's Alternative Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51. Ralph, give the people a little taste of what's coming up just after the top of the hour.
I will be talking to you about an artist, a man who is a photographer in Tokyo, who poses his subjects in portraiture in a very unique way.
Huh.
And, yeah, it's a little creepy.
In a unique way, I say it's life-threatening. That's all.
Okay.
So I don't know if you want that when someone's taking your picture, to take put your life in his hands. I don't know if you want that or not, but we'll talk more about that in a minute. Meanwhile, it is time for the Showbiz Beat, and before I get to show business news, I want to give away some tickets. Kids are premature.
Right.
Premature yaying. I've got some tickets for the Trailer Park Boys.
Kids? Yeah. Okay. Wow.
Those kids.
Right?
Yes. Trailer Park Boys, if you're not familiar with it, is a hilarious show out of Canada. One of my favorites. And they are taking their live show on the road.
Yay!
To the Orpheum Theater here in Los Angeles, December 5th, just in time for Christmas. Which is appropriate because the name of their show is Trailer Park Boys, Dear Santa, Go F Yourself Tour. Ricky, Julian, Bubbles, Randy, they will all be there if you are a fan like I am. And if you're not, look them up. They're on the internets. Go find the Trailer Park Boys and enjoy. They're going to be in town December 5th. If you'd like to go, give me a call, 1-800-520.
Call now, 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
I love you too, Bob Toe. Three lucky winners who get through with that phone number will get a pair of passes to go see Trailer Park Boys, Dear Santa, Go F Yourself. I'll be there. Britney Spears, she is working this down-to-earth mom of two lately. You know, she's always seen raising her kids. She's settled down there in Vegas. She's got the residency, and she seems to have really gotten her life together.
Mm-hmm.
But let's make no mistake about it. She is still a diva.
Oh.
Her expenses from 2016 have seen the light of day, and you will be stunned at what this woman spends money on. First of all, she pulled in $16 million in 2016.
$16
million? You know, compared to, you know, Beyonce and the like.
Sure.
It's nothing, but still, $16 million, not a bad take. right?
Right.
Her expenses for 2016? What do you think? If she made 16, what do you think she spent, her total expenditures for 2016?
We're only bringing it up because it's high, so I would say 14.
That would be
ridiculous. Would be really high.
Yeah, yeah. Just saying.
$10 million.
Wow.
Made 16, spent 10. Here's just some of the items. $69,000 for clothing.
Okay.
Is that okay, you?
It isn't for me, yeah. But if I'm making $16 million,
$25,000
sure.
On hair.
Wow.
It's a lot of hairdos. Maybe she's got clip-ons.
Yeah, I think a lot of it.
Yeah. $120,000 on massages.
Wow.
There
she
better
likes a massage.
Be some happy endings, right?
Right.
And this is my favorite spend expenditure. $30,000 on her dogs.
Oh,
what are they? What are you doing for $30,000?
I mean, tuxedos.
Maybe.
They probably go to different
grand.
Events.
Doggy tuxedos.
Wow.
Yeah, it's nuts. Aaron Carter. He's a mess.
Yeah, he's going through some stuff.
Yeah. He's going to be on The Doctors today. Why is it these people, when they're in trouble, go to television
yeah.
physicians?
I don't know.
And psychologists instead of real ones. Why does Sinead O'Connor go to see Dr. Phil? Why is Aaron Carter spending time with The Doctors on television? Anyway, he says he's concerned because he thinks people think he's sick because he's 115 pounds. And he wants them to know that he's not addicted, he's not a drug addict, he's just has some body issues.
He's really 115 pounds?
Yeah, yeah. He looks super wow. gaunt. His face
he's
is just
skeletal.
Caved in.
He's skeletal.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they did some drug tests on him live on the show. And apparently it came back positive for benzodiazepines, benzodiazepines,
mm-hmm.
uppers, and opiates. So he's doing bennies and opiates. And so Aaron had to admit he does buy prescription pills on the street just so he'll have them. He likes
oh,
to have them
no.
just at the ready. He
just have them. He also tested positive for them.
So apparently
having
he's taking
taken them
yeah. also. Yeah. So he's obviously has some drug issues, even though he's been denying it for some time.
Why would he go on a show called The Doctors and then try to lie to them about what's in his system
I don't
when he
know.
Knows that's in his system?
I think it's because...
Is he crazy?
Addiction is a mental illness as much as it is a physical one. And I think he's kidding himself and trying to kid mm-hmm. others. So maybe we'll get some help now. We'll see. And I want to make a quick correction. Yesterday we were talking about that hand-in-hand a benefit for hurricane
yes.
relief. The telethon that was all over television.
Oh, yeah, when you were lying about the amount?
I wasn't lying. Here's what happened. I initially went on the radio here.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
I went on the FM band on the radio.
Right. We know where we are.
106.7.
Right.
And I said that the telethon made a paltry $14 million.
You liar!
Then people called me out and said, I just read an article, dumbass, where it said it was $44 million. So I did some research and said, yes, so far they've raised $44 million. But here's the thing. During the hour-long telethon,
right.
they raised $14 million.
Oh, I
see. They left the phones open afterwards for people to keep donating, and in the hours post the telethon, they made an additional $30 million. So far, the total is over $44 million.
So I guess...
Totally.
Technically, you were right?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Just barely, though.
I'm going to take it as a win. I'm going to put that in the win column. Put it in the window column.
That's alleged.
So, it was both 14 and 44.
Okay, that's good.
Okay.
That's good news.
So, money was raised. That's all that matters. And, Kevin, are you a little sad about Cassini?
Cassini?
Cassini, yeah.
Cassini. I don't know what that is.
Oh, my goodness. Cassini.
Cassini.
Is. Don't just repeat fine. What I say.
Don't
I'm
just repeat what I'm saying.
What is
you a
Cassini?
Question. What is Cassini?
Cassini is
Cassini
the NASA
is
spacecraft.
The NASA spacecraft.
Right. You said NASA.
Did I right after you said NASA?
Yep.
Wow.
Which has been exploring our solar system since 1997. For 20 years, it's been working its way through the Milky Way. Today, it's its final day. They're going to crash it into Saturn.
Why do they have to crash
yeah,
it?
Yeah, why?
Because it's out of fuel.
Right.
And if they
after
don't...
After 27 years?
After 20 years, yeah.
Oh.
1997.
Listen.
2017.
Don't ask me to do math.
Right.
It's out of fuel, finally.
Uh-huh.
And if they just let it go...
Yeah, why not?
because then it will just drift.
Right.
And it could land on one of the moons of Saturn, which they believe could actually support life. And they don't want to contaminate a planet that could support life with Earth bacteria or spores or whatever might be remaining on that air, that spacecraft from our planet.
Why don't they just pull up next to it and refuel it?
That's a great question.
Thank you, Kevin.
So they're going to crash it into Saturn. They're going to send it through the atmosphere so it'll burn up and then crash into Saturn. So
that's awesome.
Cassini has sent us so much information, and we salute it as it enters its final orbit. Salute, Cassini. I bet you Bean's pretty sad about Cassini.
Sure.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays.
After his 27 years in space.
20!
Right, whatever.
20,
whatever.
Come on.
Andrew Lincoln is 43 years old today. Sam Neill turns 69. Melissa Leo. You can see her on I'm Dying Up Here on Showtime, mm-hmm. which just got renewed for a second season.
It did.
She's 47 years old today. Dan Cortez, who is an actor, but also, Allie reminded me, was an MTV host, right? Didn't he host a show on MTV?
Or was he on The Real World, like the first one?
Or was it one of those beach houses?
Yeah, I thought he used to host
the beach house. I'm thinking of the other brunette guy with the abs.
Oh, sure.
The other brunette guy with the abs.
And speaking of abs,
doing great today, guys.
It's Beer Mug's birthday,
right?
Yay.
Right,
dude. This is a new level for the Mugs. Yeah. This is a mess.
Happy birthday, Mugs. He's 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ralph Garman has joined us back in the studio to tell us about our new favorite photographer.
Yeah, I discovered this story. Because on Hollywood Babylon, the show I do with Kevin Smith, we've got a regular segment called What the F Japan. Because there seems to be a real disconnect between Japanese culture and American culture, where sometimes it's hard to understand why they do what they do. They've got different tastes in foods and comedians, and there's just...
Their game shows are
game shows
crazy.
Are crazy, right, exactly. So we like to explore that. There's some fun to be had. And then I came across this story, and this is just horrifying and terrifying on every level. So I want to tell you about... Haruhiku Kawaguchi, who is a photographer in Tokyo, Japan. And he is, how do I put this? He is a unique photographer in the sense that he poses his subjects when he takes their picture in a very interesting way. And I've got some audio from a Japanese news story about this. So here's the introduction.
Japanese artist vacuum seals couples for portrait series. This is not a crime scene.
Yeah. If you have to identify the footage you're showing by saying this is not a crime scene, we're already in trouble if you're talking about a photographer.
Did he say shrink-wrapped?
He vacuum seals his subjects. So let me tell you what happens.
Okay.
He takes couples, and in order to show their love for each other, he first lubes them up.
They're naked?
They're nude.
Okay.
Then he... encases them in a clear plastic bag.
Okay.
He pushes them together, he molds them together like puzzle pieces, wraps them in this plastic bag, and then, with a high-pressure vacuum, removes all the oxygen from the bag and seals it so they are shrink-wrapped.
Oh, my God.
They are sealed inside the plastic.
He's a snuff photographer.
He runs up to the camera,
I like that.
Takes some pictures real quick, and then tries to get back to them and cut them out of the plastic before they suffocate.
What?
Right? What kind of photography is this?
What?
Here's our reporter friend getting from Hal his reasoning behind why he likes to do this.
Tokyo-based photographer Hal has created a new project called Flesh Love, which captures many varied couples in vacuum seal packages to, according to Hal, keep love fresh forever.
See?
Keep it fresh
forever. They'll keep their love fresh forever because they're vacuum sealed in plastic like meat in a butcher shop. It's becoming so popular in Japan that they are having wedding newlyweds are coming and having their wedding photos done by this guy when they're shrink wrapped in plastic.
That can't be. A thing.
He has to have a medical team at all times standing by.
Sure.
And they administer oxygen to the subjects of the photography after he's able to cut them out of the plastic. As you can imagine, he has a very short window of time to work with his subjects when he's taking their photos.
Wow, that's craziness.
If you look at the pictures, their faces are mashed and smushed because, as you can imagine, when you suck all the air out of plastic wrap, it compresses and presses up against everything. So their faces and bodies look distorted and smushed because they are just wrapped in this clear plastic.
They just look like chicken.
They do. Look like nude Japanese people chicken. As if that was a thing.
That's my favorite hashtag.
That's the name of the exhibit.
So why would this guy, why would Haruhiko Kawaguchi come up with the idea to wrap them?
Hal said, the idea is to demonstrate the human relationship. The artist bonds the lovers together by sucking air out of the bag with a vacuum cleaner, transforming them into a single being within the plastic encasement. A vacuum-sealed pack of love.
They're a pack of love.
You know what they are? They're a pack of dead people.
And he says that it makes them one. If you take all the air out and you smash them together and you wrap them in plastic, they go from being two separate people to one unified package, one pack of love.
But they don't.
They do.
But here's the thing about
that. People that can't breathe. That doesn't make them one.
They're not one. You're right. It's just a couple of people that are about to die.
Here's the problem Hal is finding. He goes by the name of Hal. His name is Haruhiko Kawaguchi.
She keeps calling him Hell. I can't help from noticing.
Hal is his nickname. Okay. His photographer Hal is what he goes by. Can you imagine there's a problem with this when he's shooting?
Yes.
Other than the fact that
someone might die?
A lot of the subjects think it's a good idea going into the process.
And then freak.
And then once they get into the bag,
I would freak.
The oxygen starts to be removed.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how terrifying that must be?
No.
No.
Well, a lot of his subjects have had negative reactions, he says, including, let's go back to our reporter.
Hal said some of his subjects were so scared that one even peed inside the bag.
As if it's not bad enough. I'm smashed up against somebody.
Oh,
they're
sucking
the oxygen off. And then all of a sudden it gets very warm inside the bag. This is wrong and bad on every level.
Well, I guess they are number one.
This is a unique bank robber situation.
It was a sight so stunning, people pulled out their cell phones to capture it.
Okay. That's a good start, right?
Yeah.
Everybody standing around is like, I got to get some pictures of this.
A man running down the busiest parts of Las Olas Boulevard, stark naked.
Oh.
So now, here's one of my questions, is that the guy is running down a very, very busy street on the sidewalk.
Okay.
Completely naked.
Right.
Why are you right out in the middle of where everybody can see you? Why would you choose that as your route, unless you wanted everybody to see you, if you're an exhibition?
This is after he's robbed a bank, or this is just randomly?
Well, I mean, they haven't said yet.
Okay.
We'll get to that.
Well, he's an exhibitionist, obviously.
That's what I think. Yeah.
Dropping $50 and $100 bills behind him.
I guess he must have run down the street, all the way down, because, I mean, he came up this way, right?
That's a man on the street interview, which are always great.
Always the best.
The guy saw it, and he said he robbed a bank. And then he, for some reason, took off all his clothes and made a run for it.
Okay, so he didn't rob the bank naked.
No, no, no. He was fully clothed.
Okay.
Robbed the bank, took off all his clothes. Why?
Well, you can figure out who robbed the bank by what he's wearing. He's wearing jeans and a pig t-shirt. Not sure what the pig t-shirt is.
I'm not sure why he has a pig t-shirt, but okay.
Dennis Toledo had a clear view of the nudity Tuesday afternoon as he worked this valet post at a city parking lot.
Now, here's what I like. It's a nudity story, not a bank robbing story to her.
It's totally switched.
Forget about the bank robbery. Let's just focus on the nude guy.
We saw someone running down from that end of the street, or jogging. I guess he wasn't fully running.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, really, sir.
Maybe
let's not judge him.
Maybe it was a quarter speed. Yeah. I don't know. Was he at top speed? I doubt it.
Why is he judging?
I don't know. And I don't know why he's hung up all of a sudden.
Does no one care? He just robbed a bank.
All she wants to talk about is the nudity. And all he wants to talk about right so far is at what speed he's going. I don't know. A third, maybe a fourth, as fast as he can go. He could probably step it up.
This way.
This is bizarre.
All right, now that's a guy in a car.
Yeah, man on the street in the car.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who has his phone out and he's recording video.
Okay.
And he's driving down this huge street and the guy is running naked. Of course, they have to blur out the whole thing so you can't really see.
How big was the blur?
You know, anything. The blur was too big. It blurred his whole body.
Ah.
Right?
Stupid.
That's over blurring.
Yeah, I always judge by how big the pixelation is.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
According to the FBI, the man without any clothes is 25-year-old Alexander Sperber. They say he robbed the Regions Bank on Southeast 3rd Avenue in downtown Fort Lauderdale.
All right. Well, again, why did he take off his clothes? You're wrong. Your first guess is wrong.
Oh, maybe the dye pack got all over his clothes?
At the time, he was fully clothed. He's accused of demanding cash from the teller, claiming he had a weapon, although it doesn't appear he was armed. The teller reportedly put a dye pack in his bag with the money.
Nice.
Yeah, thank you.
Nice guess.
Thank you.
And that dye pack explodes, so the money's covered with it, and the bank robber is covered in it.
And when he went running, it exploded, prompting him to remove his clothes.
Because when I initially saw him, I thought that he was maybe a...
Back to the valet, by the way.
Right.
Yeah, now we're talking to the valet guy again. Yeah. He's questioning his top speed.
Mental patient or something like that. But then when I heard about the bank robbery, I thought that was even more shocking.
Yeah, this is a great interview with him. I hope he gets his own series. I hope he gets a spinoff from this.
And I thought it could have been dangerous.
Right?
Mm.
I mean, maybe he could have got hit by a car or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Investigators say he jogged for blocks through town, dropping cash on the streets and in the bushes.
Now, here's my question. So he's running through town for blocks,
mm-hmm.
but he's running right down a major street where everyone can see him and videotape him and call if they want to. Why not go off the main street?
Listen, I don't...
Why not hide? Why not jump in a backyard?
I don't know how the streets are set up in this town.
Right.
Maybe this is the quickest way out. And he knew to get to another street, he just had to go down this main one for a bit.
Or he's not that smart.
Dong.
Yeah.
As he startled drivers and shoppers, police eventually caught up with him a block south of Las Olas Boulevard and 8th Avenue. One person who didn't record the spectacle, Dennis Toledo.
All right. Now we go back. Now we go back to the valet, and she's upset because Dennis Toledo, the valet,
didn't record.
Didn't record it on his phone. And by the way, I have the same question. Who doesn't?
Well,
these days.
He was too busy judging his top speed.
These days.
Yeah.
Honestly, if something happens, isn't that your first instinct?
Usually.
I need to get out my phone and videotape. Yeah. It has to happen because.
If I see a guy running naked down the street,
right.
I'm absolutely videotaping.
Right. You're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Dennis is lazy.
Yeah.
He's lazy.
I just wasn't interested.
That's the end of the story.
No.
Yeah. That's it. He was arrested, and she ended with the fact that the valet just wasn't all that interested in the story. So that's why he didn't get out his phone. He didn't video the guy.
So that money is just, it's useless. If you find that money in the bushes that he threw it in.
If it's got the blue dye on it.
Yeah,
I think it is.
Huh.
I think it is, yeah. But dropping 50s and 100s as he's running naked down the middle of the street.
Well, where would he put it?
That's right. Exactly. Where's he going to hold it? He can only hold so much. Dr. Drew's going to be on the program later today to explain to everybody why I'm the smartest man alive.
So, I mean, that's not really what the topic is.
But it's a byproduct of.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to force it to be. Yes. A lot of people are wondering about Saturday Night Live. Alec Baldwin, of course, did a very famous impression of President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to know if he's going to be back. And he was on Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
And he told her that, yes, he will indeed be back for this upcoming season.
He was playing it pretty close to the vest earlier in the summer. Not sure if he's going to do it. Can't do that whole thing. People are getting sick of it. No one's getting sick of it.
He was there to promote his new book, You Can't Spell America Without Me, a parody memoir about Trump's first year in office. So he does seem to still be quite engaged. He even said that he's going to be on a movie set in Rome, and if he needs to, he'll get on a satellite so that he can do it.
Wow.
So he's very committed to this. Yeah. It's September 30th, the new season starts. The host is Ryan Gosling, and the music is Jay-Z.
Okay.
And Alec Baldwin will be there as well, and we figured that it's a good time to catch up with our president and find out just exactly what he thinks about this. President Trump, good morning.
Sad.
Sorry?
Sad.
Sad.
Why are you
people
sad?
Who do impressions of me are just sad, I think. They're the worst. The worst people. They're very, very bad people. Everyone knows this.
I mean,
you don't take it as a compliment?
It's not a compliment. First of all, his impression of me sounds nothing like me, okay?
Mm.
He walks around, his face is all scrunched up, got little eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
His mouth is turned down.
Right.
Gesturing with his hands.
Not hearing the lie.
Tie too long. Bad hair. It's awful. Doesn't looks nothing like me.
I'm sorry, did you say bad hair?
If Ryan Gosling is going to be on Saturday Night Live, he should do the impression because he looks much more like me.
Oh.
That's just me.
Hmm.
Donald.
But Ryan I'll have Gosling. Them all know that I will be getting the last laugh.
Oh, okay.
Right? I will be laughing bigly when it's all done and said.
Okay.
And saying the things that are done.
Right.
Said and done.
But why are you going to be laughing bigly?
Because I am announcing my own new show, Saturday Night Trump, where I will be doing impressions of all these losers. So sad. Losers.
I
will be mocking them, and then everyone will be talking about me and how funny I am and how great I am.
Wait, okay? So you're doing impressions of the people that do impressions of you.
Yes, exactly.
That's
you don't have other things to do with your time?
I have nothing better to do with my time than to respond to people who make fun of me on late night television, okay?
I see.
Well, I'd love to hear some if
okay,
you could.
Okay, here's Jimmy Fallon, okay?
Okay.
I'm Jimmy Fallon, okay? Let's have a fun time playing a game where we talk about something and then the person who has to do something ridiculous.
Most of the time when somebody does an impression, it's supposed to sound like the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's my Alec Baldwin impression, okay?
Okay.
Oh, Liz Lemon, unbelievable. Liz Lemon, you run this show here that I am also working on. And then that black dude says something really dumb.
Donald, you're right? Just saying right, what Liz 30 Lemon? Rock is. That's right? All you're doing, as you. That's not Alec.
I mean, it does sound a lot like you.
No, I'm doing Alec Baldwin.
Oh. Are you doing Alec Baldwin doing you?
Okay, cookies are for closers, okay? Put down that cookie. We're having a sales meeting, and one of the prizes is some steak knives. And if you don't sell these properties, then you'll be fired. From the Glengarry Glen Ross real estate.
Okay. Thank you.
Pretty famous role for Alec Baldwin.
Wasn't sure what was
glad that I knew Glengarry Glen Ross and you people didn't. I guess I'm just better briefed than you people are.
I mean, it's not a very good, very good impression, though.
You are a thoughtless little pig.
Oh, no. Wow. You're going there.
He's just doing voicemails.
No, I was talking to Melania.
Oh.
6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53. Just after the top of the hour, we're talking to Jim Rome about the Rams and about the Chargers and about the Dodgers. That's coming up right now. Ralph is here for a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Sad news. Lost some people yesterday. Frank Vincent, who played gangster Billy Batts in the movie Goodfellas. You may remember that film and that famous scene. Go home and get your shine box, Tommy.
I get my shine back. I'll come back to you, stupid you.
Things didn't work out well for Billy Batts. He also played Phil Leonardo in The Sopranos. He died from complications from heart surgery yesterday at the age of 78.
Hmm.
I always think that sucks when you go into the hospital, get something fixed, and you end up getting dead.
That does suck.
It's not good.
It's not the way it should work.
No, it should not.
He was in Raging Bull, Casino, Popes of Greenwich Village, Wise Guys, the Spike Lee films Do the Right Thing, Jungle Fever. Very talented guy and worked a ton. And also we lost the drummer and co-lead singer of the influential American indie band Husker Du. Grant Hart has passed away at the age of 56. He had been battling cancer. He, along with Bob Mould and Greg Norton, formed Husker Du in 1979. Rumor has it they got the idea for the band's name from a very popular television commercial was on at the time.
Really?
Yes, for a little game that we used to call Husker Du.
Husker Du. In Denmark, Husker Du means do you remember?
Do you remember? He passed away at the age of 56. So that's all sad news. But there's also some good news.
All right.
For Allie.
Yeah?
Allie's very excited about a movie that you probably have never heard about called The Happy Time Gang.
It's the most exciting. Sorry.
The Happy Time Murders.
Mm-hmm.
It's a story about two detectives who are trying to solve a case about a cast member of a beloved puppet show.
But not just any detective,
Ralph. Called the Happy Time Gang.
Right?
No, Allie. One is a human detective.
Uh-huh.
The other one is a puppet detective.
Yeah, Ralph. Murder and puppets.
It's got everything for her.
It really does. Okay.
Melissa McCarthy will play the human puppet.
Yeah.
And then there's a, not a human puppet, human detective.
A human.
And then there's a puppet that will be played by a puppet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Maya Rudolph is in the cast.
Mm-hmm.
She plays the secretary of the puppet detective. And Elizabeth Banks has just joined the cast.
She'll be playing a burlesque dancer named Jenny.
This movie has it all.
It does have everything.
The Happy Time Murders. Right? And, hello, Brian Henson is in charge of this whole thing. This is all I'm waiting for in the world. I hope we don't die.
This is all you're waiting for in the world, yeah. Followed by, I hope we don't die.
Like nuclear wars and like...
Murder?
That would suck.
What if someone murdered you before you got to see Happy Time Murder?
What if it was a puppet?
If it was a puppet, I'd be okay.
What about Fozzie murdered you?
Right?
Like in the throes of passion.
Waka waka.
Let him murder
choked
this.
Choked you out with his tie.
Wow, it's a scarf. First of all,
it's a tie.
It's a scarf.
Fozzie Bear wears a tie.
It's a polka dot scarf.
It's a tie.
I'm going with the girl who was in love with Fozzie Bear her whole life on this one.
It's a pork pie hat and a goddamn scarf.
It's a tie.
Let's put some money on it.
Ah, I wear a tie.
See? He said it himself.
I mean, that's not really a tie.
It's a tie.
I mean, it isn't really. I mean, it's tied around his neck, but it's not a tie.
Because it's a scarf.
Right.
There's some weird Muppet autoerotic asphyxiation and Allie gets choked out. They find her like all bug-eyed and blue-faced.
With a smile on her face.
Fozzie just crying on the edge of the bed when the police show up. Right?
Not cool. How am I not in this movie? And that's one of the plot points.
Right?
That'd be awesome.
I would so be dead in it.
Well, hope springs eternal.
Right?
Maybe someday you'll die. On screen. On screen.
On screen.
I mean, there was a good pause.
No, there was no pause. The Broadway musical Mean Girls is heading to Broadway because it's a Broadway musical.
Sure, that makes sense.
Yeah. Tina Fey wrote the script for this musical, and it's going to preview on March 12th, 2018 at the August Wilson Theater in New York City. So circle that date, March 12th, 2018.
2018.
So we have a couple months
before
it premieres, but they do have finally a premiere date, and a lot of people are saying a lot of good things about it. I'll be in New York in November. And it looks like I'm very close to getting tickets for Springsteen. I'm very excited.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, very excited.
Here's some of those stories.
Don't say luck out. No one says
it's
that.
Thing.
It's not a
it's
thing.
Real. It's real. Yeah.
Thing.
She tried to sneak in the background. Did you hear that?
Luck out.
Not luck out. That's not a thing. I just hope the boss doesn't murder me.
Right?
Right? I don't want to be backstage and all of a sudden I hear that organ start to go and I know there's going to be a story told about me at some point.
Stay away from wire trash cans.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Andrew Lincoln's 43 years old today. Sam Neill turns 69. Melissa Leo, lovely and talented actress. Played my wife in Red State. Then went on to win an Oscar for The Contender.
Do you think it was the working with you that did that?
Yeah.
You think she got a lot of momentum?
I gave her some tips.
Coming up out of
that? I gave her some hints.
Okay.
Try to pretend you're a person. I said a lot when we were acting.
Yeah. That's some good advice.
Dan Cortez is 50 years old. Remember him from MTV back in the day. And Beer Mug! Oh, Beer Mug.
By the way, thanks to Astro Donuts and Fried Chicken.
Beer Mug.
Downtown, they brought Sriracha Buffalo Wings.
Beer Mug.
Mug's favorite food. Korean barbecue wings, cheddar biscuits, tater tots, and tons of donuts, and he's eating all of them.
Yes.
Over there, pumping his fist like he's Rocky.
He is, yeah.
What's happening?
He is celebrating like he just won the World Series himself.
He's going 12 rounds with donuts, that's why.
Yeah. And you can see that on the Facebook page of Kevin and Bean if you'd like to. If you'd like to.
Mug's is 34 today, and he's eating.
Yep.
He's eating his weight.
Yep.
In donuts and wings.
Yep.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. And every morning, not every morning, I wish it was every morning, but every Thursday morning at this time, we talk to Jim Rome. You can hear him 9 to noon on CBS Radio or stream it at jimrome.com. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Oh, no, Kevin. Actually, once a week is more than enough. In fact, if I can get that thing every other week, that'd be great.
You'd like to cut down a little bit?
Or if this could be my walk-off, that'd be even better. No. Just kidding. What's up, fam?
How you doing? How you been?
Good. How about you?
Very good. Thank you.
Where's Sanchez?
Sanchez is on vacation, so life's a little better. Gotta be honest.
It's funny. Can I tell you, it's much better, by the way. I hate to dog a guy when he's not here to defend himself, but just trust me, it's much better.
Well, the problem is that
Team Christine.
We're talking to Jim Rome off the air, and Dave always comes in and always annoys Jim. I don't know why he does that, but once he finds out he can annoy you, then he just pours it on.
But he thinks you guys are really good friends.
We're not. We're definitely not. We're definitely not. I don't know why he thinks that. I've never given him that indication. And you made damn sure when he comes back that he knows that from you, and I'm going to make sure he knows it from me. That's not true.
Jim has made that very clear,
I thought.
All right, let's start with football. Jim, if you don't mind the NFL, let's talk Rams. Are they as good as they looked week one?
That's a great question. Are the LA Rams for real? Let me answer that question with a song.
With a song?
Let me tell you something. You know how badass you have to be as a team to get a song as kick-ass as this? Ram it. Hey, ram it. Hey, Allie, you're a huge football fan. Sing it, Allie. Ram it.
So ram it.
Bring it home.
Just ram it today. So you ram it.
This is what I'm saying. Are they real?
This is my walk-off song.
But Jim, here's what I would say. They had this song last year, too. Mm-hmm. And that didn't really help a lot.
Why are you talking over that song, bro?
Right?
Sorry, ram it.
My bad.
Ram it. Trust me, you don't have a song like that unless you're a kick-ass football team. So, yes, they're great. And by the way, I don't care that they waxed Scott Tolzien's Colts. It could have been Pierce Junior College or Agora High School for all I care. A 46-9 hospital job is a 46-9 hospital job. So just ram it.
Hey. Allie?
Do you know how to ram it? Ram it. Let's ram it. I need to listen.
Good morning, Allie.
All right.
Good morning,
Speaking
Allie.
Speaking of ramming it, Sean McVay, though, right? Who's with me, ladies?
You're saying he's hot? The coach is hot? Is that your point?
Saying. Wow.
Yeah. Dude's hot.
You're old enough to be his mom.
How dare you?
Just kidding, Allie. Ram it. Hey, Dave.
Oh, did you just give yourself a straight
fire?
Yeah, he deserved it.
God, I love this show. Love this show.
Mom.
This show is so much better than my show.
You just said
just
she's
kidding,
old
Allie.
Enough to be his mom.
That is
I did not
hurtful.
Say that. That was Sanchez.
That was fantastic.
Allie's the best.
Sanchez is not here is what I'd like to say.
I'll see you guys never again.
All right. So, Jim, I don't think they've been over 500 for 10 years or so, 11 years. Do you think they can do it this year?
I think they might. Sean McVay, it's only one game, and again, it was against a really bad Colts team. But this guy is a prodigy. He's the youngest coach in the history of the NFL. And when you've got Jared Goff looking the way he did last week, maybe it's only one game. But that's how the first pick overall is supposed to look. And I'm going to give it to McVay. They've got lots of talent. The quarterback looks much better. This is a team that matters in a town that's not going to tolerate anything less. I like them.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it to McVay, too.
Stop, Allie.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't think she can.
Wow.
Chargers have to win, though, right? I feel like the Chargers have to win to be taken seriously in this town.
Yes. I mean, look at the Chargers. They're going to play their first game as the L.A. Chargers at the StubHub Hub Center. Now, playing an NFL game in a soccer stadium, which isn't as big as most college stadiums, is a little weird, and especially if you can't fill it, and they might not be able to because you've got your hardcore fans in San Diego who are pissed. And here in L.A., they really don't care, right? There's no connection to somebody who is trying to glom on or squat. They need to win. My advice to the Chargers, win.
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 Win a certain way.
Win.
Look good doing it, too.
All right. Let's change topics to baseball for a second.
Yeah.
Or we could play Ram it. Either way. It's your
That's
pick.
Fine.
Let's
That's
change
fine.
To baseball.
World premiere.
Is there a reason for Dodger fans to be a little afraid right now?
You know, I'm feeling better about them now that they ended their 11-game losing streak and they ran their winning streak to 2. So you don't need to slam that panic button right now, but I would make damn sure I know where it is just in case. Because, you know, Kevin, it was only a few weeks back that I was saying on your show, this is the best Dodgers team I've ever seen.
Yep.
And then within the last week, I'm like, this is the worst Dodgers team I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And both the statements are fair. Here's one for you, Seamhead. They won 15 of 16 and they lost 15 of 16 in the same season. season. Nobody has ever done that. That is really hard to do. So which team are they? That's the big question.
I'll tell you one thing that I know about the sports teams that I follow very closely is you don't want them to peak too early. If they're playing lights out halfway through the season, you're like, okay, but you got to peak at the right time. It's a little worrying, I think.
Yeah, it's not always the best team that wins it all. Sometimes it's the hottest team that wins it all. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to peak at the wrong time, but at the same time, you do not want to be playing your worst ball going into the postseason either. So the good news is they've got a few weeks to get this thing turned around. I think they've got way too much talent to play as badly as they did. I think they're going to be all right. But if they had choked those last two games away, I'd say for a fact that they were dead. Dead team walk.
Really? Just those two games?
Seriously, those two games. If they had wasted another great effort from Clayton Kershaw, and they almost did, and if Darvish didn't pitch as well as he did last night and isn't the guy they thought he was, I mean, seriously, I would say it's over.
Is Yu Darvish the guy that they thought he was going forward?
He was last night. He was last night, but he was not in the prior games to that. Easy, Allie. What are you?
I'm just saying. Allie. He's been so inconsistent. He came here because he's Yu Darvish. Maybe show it a little. Tell yourself.
Maybe don't be so judgmental. Easy.
Listen,
easy,
I paid a lot of money for that guy. Oh, wait.
You did? You did. How much?
I don't think you spent any money on that guy.
Listen, they brought him in to pitch in October, not in August or even September. As long as he pitches the way he did last night, they should be just fine. He'll be just fine, and you'll get a nice ROI, Allie. ROI. Ram it.
Return on investment.
Oh. Right. There you go.
She was looking at me like, I don't know what's happening right now.
Hey, Allie, S-Y-M. S-Y-M.
Right?
Go ahead. Save your money.
Okay.
I thought it was shut your mouth.
R-O-I. Uh-oh. Shut your mouth.
I was just guessing.
Seriously.
I don't know.
Pop quiz.
check out Jim Rome on jimrome.com. Also, I subscribe to his podcast, which
you can do.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Can you leave a review and can you make sure it's 5 stars?
I can. I will. I drove back from Newport Beach yesterday. And I was listening to your interview with Bob Costas.
949. Yo, look at you.
Who I always found a little obnoxious. Sort of like he's smarter than everybody and knows it.
Mm-hmm. And the problem is he is and he does.
Is. He is smarter than everybody.
He really is.
But he was a great interview on your show. That was a great interview, and I sort of liked him a lot more for it. And he talked about having pink eye at the Olympics, which I thought was very funny. Because he'd done 12 Olympics, and the thing that people will remember the longest is that he had pink eye that one time.
God, I'm telling you, the podcasts are fun like that because you can have conversations with guys and ladies that ordinarily you couldn't have, like, on this show or my show.
Right.
The podcast is fun. We talk about things like pink eye and their four-letter bombs. I'm telling you, subscribe. Subscribe and please leave a review.
There you go.
And bro, thanks for picking me up all the time with that.
Anyone that listens to this show should do that as well. It's free, for God's sakes. What are you going to do?
Yeah, it's free. Free as me. You should like that. If Sanchez comes back, I'm out. It's me or him, all right?
I agree.
I love you guys, but it's me or him.
Well, it's going to be sad to see him go. Thank you, Jim. We appreciate it.
Love you guys.
Okay,
bye, guys.
Bye now. There's a new show on Netflix. It debuted the 15th of September.
That's tomorrow.
It's debuting tomorrow.
Okay.
On Netflix. Thank you, Allie. Jimmy Tatro, the star that is in the studio with us. Hi, Jimmy.
Hello. How are you?
This is a bizarre show. Yeah. It's sort of a mockumentary, would you say?
Yeah. And I guess it falls into the mockumentary genre, but their whole note the whole time was we don't want it to feel like a mockumentary, we want it to feel like a documentary.
Right. Yeah. And it's about a kid in high school who draws penises everywhere. Now this is sort of odd for me because we worked with Psycho Mike for I don't know 6 years or something like that, 7 years, and he was that guy.
Yeah,
he would draw penises on my paperwork and on stuff, my personal stuff, and finally I had to say, listen, I'm serious. I know you find this funny and I do too, a certain amount, but stop doing that.
Yeah,
but that's what this series is about, a kid in high school, and that's supposedly you.
That supposedly, yeah, I think everyone has that kid that they know that just draws penis. I feel like since the show has come
why
out,
is that?
I don't know, but since the show has come out, it's opened my eyes to all these people because people either come up to me and like will tell me like, I can't believe you guys are doing this show about my friend.
Yes.
Because I know this guy. And I saw one of my friends sent me a comment of some mom like saying, my son got in trouble for drawing penises at his school. But I said there was no way he could draw penises that well. So we brought his art teacher into it. And they had like the art teacher explain to the teacher that the kid wasn't good enough at art.
Wow.
To draw these penises.
So they had to really go into an investigation to figure out.
So it really, I think it really resonated with her in a deep way.
So for people that love the Making a Murderer, the Keepers, that type of thing, this basically shows a high school trying to figure out if it's not you, which it seems like it is you, who is vandalizing the school. We're talking teachers, cars, everything. Penis everywhere.
It's $100,000 in damages.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's
that's a lot of peni. Is that the plural?
I believe it is. Sure.
I believe it's peni, yes.
Okay, I don't know for sure.
But so, yeah, I mean, it's $100,000. So, although it is just penises, mm-hmm. it is, you know, the stakes are somewhat high for this kid.
Right.
Because, A, he's getting expelled for it, mm-hmm. you know, which is going to affect his whole college situation.
Sure.
B, it's $100,000 in damages. So,
how do you do this over 8 episodes?
So, that's I think everyone's biggest point with that they might be skeptical about is how do you keep this going?
Yeah, because you think, oh, that's a funny sketch. That's like 10 minutes, awesome.
Right.
But no,
which is what everyone thought when they saw the trailer. They're like, I saw that fake trailer that you did.
I thought it was fake. I thought it was fake, but I wanted to watch it. And then when I found out it was real and it was 8 episodes, I was like, yeah, wait. 8?
Yeah. Well,
you've been doing that kind of stuff on YouTube for a while.
Yeah.
So that's, of course, why people would think that it was you.
Oh, it's totally a fake trailer I would have done.
Yeah, of course.
That's the thing. Everyone's like, it seems like a fake trailer. I'm like, I know, and it's totally something I would do.
Right.
But it's a real show.
Yeah.
And the way it works is just because it gets so investigative mm-hmm. to the point where I remember I was reading the script. I got to episode 5, and I remember thinking to myself, I remember catching myself really caring who drew these penises.
Yeah.
And I remember like thinking to myself, God, who did this? And then right after that, I was like, wait, Jimmy, are you really this? You're in it. And I was like, I'm in it. I care. I
You're
wanna
super
know.
Invested. And that's how it gets with these true crime series.
Yeah. And it's the director, the creators of the show. It's not, you know, it is a satire on the whole situation, mm-hmm. but they love Making a Murderer. They love the
change. Yeah,
right.
So it's not like making fun of it, really. It's kind of more of an ode to these
Absolutely.
Documentaries.
How did you get involved in it?
I auditioned. It was actually a funny...
They didn't just go, you know, there's a guy, he's on YouTube a lot, he seems like that guy.
He seems like he would be this actual
right,
guy.
Right.
No, I actually submitted an audition tape where I didn't have anyone to read with, so I just kind of would say a line and then leave a blank space and then say the next line.
Uh-huh.
And then I did a voiceover after.
No, and added it in.
I love it. When you sent that off, what did you think?
I sent it off and I said specifically to my agents, I said, listen, here's what happened. And I didn't have anyone to read with. So just maybe tell casting to keep that in mind when they're watching.
Give me a bit of a break.
Give me a little bit of a break.
Right.
I was reading with a voiceover of myself.
Right.
Yeah.
And that worked.
It worked. Yeah. It gave me hope for self-tapes because that's something an actor always does and never feels like is going anywhere.
Well, I can imagine because you're by yourself, you don't get any immediate feedback, even though a lot of times it's fake enthusiasm from a casting director or whoever. You
that
know?
Was great. That we'll was call, great. You.
Hey, we'll
if,
call you.
If it doesn't work out for this, we've got other things in mind.
But I assume if you put it on tape, you don't even know they're going to look at it.
Right. Yeah. Because you just send it off.
Right.
And then, you know. 99% of the time, you don't even hear anything back until you like ask someone, like, "Hey, did anything happen with this?"
Oh yeah, they made that show a year ago with somebody else.
Oh, they went in a different direction.
Right, that's a nice way of saying it.
A nice way of saying it.
Here's the trailer for American Vandal, which I just found out comes out tomorrow.
Yeah,
on Netflix.
It is a shocking scene for Hanover High teachers today. The vandal spray painted obscene images on 27 cars.
I'll never understand what's so amusing about penises.
Everyone thinks I did it.
Dylan definitely did it.
Of course he did it.
He's like a known jar.
Another day, another
I believe there are legitimate arguments for Dylan's innocence.
The bears.
They're different. The administration has something to hide.
This isn't about this is about the justice system.
They got the wrong guy.
I mean, come on.
I'm so in.
I mean, that's right in the pocket for me.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I love it. Better with the bleeps, I think.
Oh, do you? Yeah.
Yeah,
and I like all that tense music and everything. Yeah. They make it sound like it's the number one thriller in the world. I love it.
Well, I mean, the tone throughout the entire show is just dead serious.
I love it.
Amazing.
Yeah. I love that. Jimmy Tatro has been our guest. The name of the show is American Vandal. Season 1 debuts tomorrow on Netflix, and there's 8 episodes.
8 episodes.
We appreciate you coming in today. Thanks.
Orlando Sea's alternative rock. It's the world-famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54. Dr. Drew is coming up just after 9 o'clock. Right now, Ralph is in here for a look at the showbiz beat.
Yeah, I am. Look at me looking at the beat. Right?
Right.
Thank you.
Right.
This is good news for Futurama fans. Are you a Futurama fan?
Liked, didn't love.
Ah, I love Futurama.
Liked.
Hasn't been a new episode in years now. Of course, it's still very popular in reruns, but this is exciting because the good folks over at Nerdist, Chris Hardwick and company, they put together a thing called Radiorama, which is the first new episode of Futurama in years. But what it is basically a radio play. It's a double-length podcast episode of Futurama on the Nerdist podcast. It's 42 minutes long.
Huh.
And it's the complete reunion of everyone involved with the show. It is the cast. It is the writers. It's the executive producer. Everybody got together to do some new Futurama content. And it's kind of cool because they use the voice actors who did the characters in the animated series. And they do basically a radio play version of that show.
That's pretty cool.
Just dropped today. I thought people would like to know. Apparently, how it all happened is they got together to do a mobile game. You know, the games you play on your phone. Right. They've got a new Futurama mobile game called Worlds of Tomorrow. And when they got together with Jam City to do that, and everyone brought everybody back to do voices for the game, they said, hey, this is fun. Let's do an episode. So Chris Hardwick got involved. He's also a character in this new episode. He's the voice of a new character. And they did it on Nerdist. And so now this 42-minute Futurama episode is now available as a downloadable podcast. You can get it on YouTube also.
How about
that? With the Nerdist. So I want to give people a shout out and let them know if people could go find it, because I know there's a lot of Futurama fans out there. All right. Lisa Vanderpump. Does anyone watch this Vanderpump Rules show? Very popular show.
Dave
watches it?
Loves it.
Watch
she
that.
Was a Real Housewife of Beverly Hills, I want to say?
Yes.
And then she got her own spinoff show, mm-hmm. which focuses on her restaurant empire.
Mm-hmm.
She's in big trouble.
Wait, does Dave really watch it?
I believe he does.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
He loves it.
Oh, because they're like waiters that work for her, and they're like, oh, don't do that.
He's gone to the restaurants.
No!
Yes.
Mark this down for a conversation to be had when he returns. From his Instagram model yacht voyage. What's happening
there? The king of Mexico is bullshit.
What did he fall into?
That's a great question.
What does that mean?
What tub of butter did he fall into where he's yachting with Instagram models and going to the Vanderpump Rules restaurants? And what happened?
Yeah. I don't know. I can't explain him.
All right. Anyway.
I'm just rad.
You're not rad at all. She had
What's up?
She had a deal with a luxury dog boutique, like you do.
Mm-hmm.
Fifi and Romeo.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Don't. Oh, yeah, me with Fifi and Romeo. I'll take you out.
It's really high-end, like, collars and different.
Wow.
I'm just saying. It's a really
nice. I'm saying
nice...
you don't even have a dog.
Not now.
What does that mean? Did you back up over it? What happened?
Some kind of accident.
When's the last time you had a dog? You say, not now, as if you lost it this week. When's the last time you had a dog?
9 years
Childhood?
Ago. No, 9 years ago.
9 years ago. Well, anyway.
You can't get new ones, so that's...
Fifi and Romeo.
A problem.
Had a deal with her where they would dress up her dog, and then she would take her dog, Gigi, to high-profile events and photo shoots.
I think it's Gigi.
I will end you, woman.
Oh, man. Wow. No. No. You stop
we
it.
We should hit her with a rolled-up newspaper across the
Why
nose.
Why are you putting my nose in it, Kevin?
You stop this right. This is not
a lesson. She was supposed to take her to high-profile events and photo shoots, promote her on Instagram and on TV appearances, and they say she hasn't been doing her job, so now they're demanding they be paid for all their high-end dog clothing they provided for her. This is a real thing that's happening with people.
I mean, I don't know how, but it seems to be.
We should take Fifi and Romeo
and Vanderpump and all her rules, and we should put him in a cargo plane and send him down to Florida with Key West and have him start picking up trash and helping those people who had a trailer home.
Wow. And Allie should be on that plane as well.
Yeah, she should.
Listen.
Yeah, we're listening.
Usually
yeah,
people that follow that up with something else.
Nope.
Okay.
She's not used to us actually listening. I think that's what threw her.
It was a panic.
She said, listen, and we actually did for a change, and she had nothing.
Who says listen without anything in mind?
Me.
Vanderpump rules.
Wow.
Hey, listen, reminder, heads up, Sunday night, if you're down there in Brea, California, anybody down there in Orange County, come on out and see me and Kevin Smith take the stage at the Improv.
First of all, I don't know what that is. Well, and second of all, no freaking way.
Well, it's Hollywood Babylon is what it is. And we're doing it at the Brea Improv Sunday night at 7 p.m. Love to have Orange County come out and spend some time with us. You can go to improv.com and then click on Brea. Come on out and see us.
No.
Then the following Sunday, we're in Oxnard at the Levity Live there in Oxnard.
No.
It's going to be a good time. I'm just telling you.
No!
So you're saying there's a chance.
That guy, I think you can turn him around.
Today's celebrity birthdays. I did not know this. I've just been informed, and I feel bad because he's my buddy, and he's a very talented actor and comedian. Jamie Kaler's birthday is today.
Oh, Jamie.
Jamie, of course, was on My Boys on TBS for many seasons. Mm-hmm. He also has a very popular, very entertaining web series called Dads in Parks, where it's Jamie sitting on a park bench talking to a dad about raising kids. And it's a very funny series, so check it out if you get a chance. Happy birthday, Jamie. Dan Cortese.
Cortez?
I think it was Cortez. Or is.
50 years old today. Melissa Leo, I've been giving her wrong age all morning.
Good.
I said she was 47 all morning.
Mm-hmm.
She's actually a little bit higher than that.
48?
But I've already said 47. I don't want to do that.
Happy birthday.
Do her dirty, right?
Yeah. What?
We already did.
Sam Neill, 69. Andrew Lincoln's 43. And Beer Mug.
I love you, Poppy.
I love you too, Papa. Celebrates his 34th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
Dr. Drew is next. We have tickets for you right now. If you want to call 1-800-520-1067, we've got a pair of tickets to see USC versus Texas at the LA Coliseum. That is Saturday. 1-800-520-1067. Thursdays on the Kevin and Bean Show mean we check in with Dr. Drew. What?
Do we have him?
Do we have Dr. Drew?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
He's on blue. Oh, I see. Okay, my bad. All right. We also have a guest that wants to...
Well, let's talk to Dr. Drew first about what the topic is, because it is a hot-button issue.
Hey, Dr. Drew.
Hey, guys. Sorry about that. I couldn't get the phone to go through for some reason. Weird.
Well, that is weird. Maybe we blocked you.
Yeah.
Dr. Drew, I'm the smartest man alive, I learned yesterday. Because we were having this conversation in the office about getting flu shots, and basically no one here gets the flu shot except for me. Does that indeed, sir, make me the smartest man alive?
Of course it does.
Well, yes,
true.
But why? Well, let's find out why they don't get the flu shots and what is going on in their mind.
Okay.
What is going on?
Allie, why have you not got the flu shot?
I just... we went through how many centuries of not getting a flu shot. And I mean, no one dies from the flu. Just kidding.
What?
No, I'm kidding. What? That was a joke, Drew. I knew you'd flip out. I just never got it. My parents get very angry with me every year. Why are you not getting the flu shot? I just haven't. But Chip didn't get it. She's never had the flu.
To be fair, you're not in an age group where it becomes that important. In fact, we measure more things like lost days at work, that sort of thing, for people that are, say, under the age of 65, less than how many, as opposed to over 65, where we worry about how many people die of the flu.
Mm-hmm.
We just worry about how it disables and makes you less productive and, you know, less able to do the things you want to do. So from a medical standpoint, it's not that big a deal, but it's sort of like, why wouldn't you?
I mean, are they free? Are they coming to my house to do it?
Well, Keel will come do it. I used to bring it into the K-Rock, you know, Loveline days, just keep shoot everybody up.
Yeah, and last time I checked, almost killed someone,
okay,
correct?
So hold on, Doctor.
That,
Now, hold on for a second, Dr. Drew, because we have another guest for this segment, and it's Michael Catherwood.
Who? Yeah. Hello?
Mike?
You guys, yeah. Listen, Drew is right. He used to bring it into the studio all the time and just provide it to all his coworkers. Look at me. I'm a doctor. I'm medically trained. I have a wealth of syringes filled with this flu vaccine. And he almost killed me. God damn it.
All right. Dr. Drew, did you indeed almost kill him?
Who is that guy? Who's this Michael Catherwood guy?
You do a show with him every day.
Oh, that guy. Yeah, yeah, that guy. Yeah, well, you know, Michael's a very special boy.
Right.
you all know.
Sound like my dad.
and I think you guys all witnessed what happened the next day when his head swelled up like a pumpkin.
Yeah, I mean, that was a little scary. I got to be honest.
Yeah, it was a little scary.
If it wasn't for Kevin and Bean and the Kevin and Bean team being so devoted to picking on everything in someone's life and then bringing it on the air and saying, wow, Mike looks horrible, his face is giant and huge and puffy, and Dr. Drew happened to be listening to that show, driving to the airport, I would be dead because Drew called up again to then save my life. Actually, probably save his medical license so that he wouldn't lose for killing me.
All right.
And he said, rush this guy to the hospital because I've given him a shot that's going to kill him.
So what happened?
Hold on. Dr. Drew, is that all accurate?
Yeah, a little hyperbole, but the facts are the facts.
He was not going to the airport.
I think I was.
Was he that close to, was he going to die?
Well, it scared the hell out of me. I've given the flu shot out. I've probably given 5 or 10,000 vaccines. I mean, thousands of them. Mm-hmm. I've never had one adverse reaction to the flu vaccine.
I mean, technically, now you've had one.
I've had one.
And Krista.
Case one. And listen, to me, what it did, it had me double down on, you know, really checking people's allergies and family history of allergies and that sort of thing. So if you have any up human sensitivity, this sort of thing, yes, by all means. And listen, every interaction with a medical provider has the potential to do harm. It's just the way the nature of the system is.
Right.
Why the hell did it have to happen to Mike? Why?
So what kind of allergy was it?
I've been told it was the egg albumin, right, Drew?
Probably the egg albumin. That's right. Probably that kind of protein in there. It's just an allergic reaction, but it was a serious allergic reaction. And allergic reactions, real allergic reactions, true allergic reactions, your blood vessels open up and seep fluid into your tissue, and you can get airway constriction, and you could die.
Oh no!
I mean, it could be a problem. I mean, he was getting what's called anaphylactoid reaction, and I was not happy. I must tell you, it was one of the more nerve wracking moments of my life.
All right,
hearing you guys talk to him.
So now let me ask you, because I feel like we've done the opposite of what you want to do, Dr. Drew. Let's talk more people into getting it.
Hey, yeah. I'll tell you this.
Yes,
after
Mike.
After I almost died and my head blew up,
right.
and I had to go to the hospital and get a battery of other shots and all
right.
that stuff,
right.
Didn't get the flu. Didn't get the flu.
Great, Mike. Excellent.
Mike, will you ever get the flu shot again?
Hell no. Are you out of your mind?
I'm just asking. Dr. Drew, should he get another flu shot?
No.
All right. What about everybody else?
Yes.
Why?
Because, look. It not only does it prevent the flu and prevent you from, it doesn't cover every flu on Earth, and there's debate about what the dosing should be in the elderly population, but the young people that listen to K-Rock, you will not expose other people to the flu should you get it, and people who are older, for whom the consequences may be more dire, the herd immunity can be very helpful. So let's do our... Listen, 1 out of 10,000 shots. I'm like, don't let that scare you away. I take it every year. I give it to my family every year. Let's keep the flu vaccine alive.
Like, if Liam Neeson wanted to date me, I should get the flu shot because he's older. I don't want to expose him and he could die.
What just happened?
What is going on?
Right? I don't even understand.
He's saying, like,
Can Trump build a wall around Ali?
Mike, I was on your side here. I was very upset you almost died.
I believe the dog's name is Gigi. They're very high-end callers. How many centuries have people lived without the flu shot? Yeah, how many centuries do we not have cars? How many centuries do people die in covered wagons from cholera?
Okay, but
okay,
now,
Mike,
but
now
Mike,
you want the flu shot?
Now you're arguing for the flu shot.
Get off my phone.
Listen, everyone in the world should get flu shots but me, because I'm an X-Man.
Oh, my God.
All right, Mike, I'm going to hang up on you, and thank you for calling.
Wait a minute. Don't hang up. Mike has a comedy show tonight.
What?
What?
Oh, that's right.
Oh, my dentist told me about this.
Oh, I thought this was last night.
No, tonight I'm going to embarrass myself in stand-up comedy.
Okay, please explain. And how
Molly
can we get
Malone
that?
On Fairfax, actual professional, really good comedian friends of mine said, hey, would you like to come up and do some time?
Oh, God.
Why would you say yes?
Well, I didn't. I said no. And then they said, hey, would you like to say you're going to and then really do it and then promote it so that we could get more people to show up?
Oh,
and I was
smart.
Like, oh, you're going to be like that. And they're like, yeah, but at least we're honest. And I said, okay, I'll do it. And so I'm going to suffer through like 10 minutes. It shouldn't be
10 minutes?
Yeah.
Do you know how long 10 minutes is when you're up there? It's an eternity.
Have you prepared material, or are you just going to go off the top of your head?
Oh, God.
No, I prepared stuff, and I'll be honest with you. My wife says, and I quote, not really that funny.
Oh, no. Hey, Mike, we share a dentist. And,
we sure do.
We sure do.
In our dreams, too.
Amen. His response to this was, I'm really nervous, and it actually gives me anxiety. I think I'm going to go. So people are going to see you do bad, Mike.
What a sadist. Seriously, all dentists are so effed up. They yank people's teeth out of their head. And then he's like, I'm really nervous for this guy who's been really nice to me and lined my wallet. So I'm going to go watch him bomb so that I can be a part of it.
I mean, I think that's the draw, to be honest.
I'm just saying, our hot dentist is going to be there.
He is so beautiful.
He really is, Mike.
Mike,
I think I'd leave my wife for him tonight.
Mike, are you... Because she doesn't think you're funny. Are you
I'll
going
be there.
Are you going to... Oh, you will?
Oh, okay, Drew's going to be there.
Are you going to record it, Mike?
No.
Yes, you should.
Yeah, Drew, record it, please.
Listen, record it, and then come in tomorrow, and we'll go through it.
Yes!
Hey, I got to be honest with you. I have a bit of a trump card, and that's... I'm going to get up there, and I'm going to start... going, and if I don't feel like a crowd response, I'm just going to have Rudy.
Rudy, I knew
and
it.
And that's going to be a home run.
I mean, honestly, that's fine. That's good. Yeah. But I'm saying record it and bring it in tomorrow.
Well, now the problem is I'm going just to see Rudy. So if Rudy doesn't show up, everyone's going to be pissed.
Oh, you should boo, Dr. Drew. Boo! We want Rudy! Boo!
Again, to mention my wife, she's only with me so that Rudy would show up.
Oh, I see. All right, Mike, record it and come in tomorrow.
All right.
See?
Okay.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
So, Drew.
I love you.
So, Drew?
Yeah.
So, Drew, we should all get the flu shot, is what you're saying.
Yes, yes. Okay. But, Allie, are you high right now or something?
A little bit. Why?
The way your mind works is because I'm full display this morning.
Hello, Drew. That's why I have asked you for Adderall, and you're like, no, Allie, I won't prescribe it. Will you now?
Whoever has prescribed it, I might be willing to refill it because
this is not abnormal, Drew.
I haven't been prescribed it. That's what I'm saying. This is just me.
No.
All right. Follow.
I smell Vicodin.
Follow Drew on Twitter at Dr. Drew. The website is drdrew.com. Dr. Drew Midday Live with Mike Catherwood is on KABC noon to 3. And he's got a bunch of podcasts, the Dr. Drew podcast, the Adam and Dr. Drew show, and Weekly Infusion. And the app is Heal if you'd like to get a doctor come out to your house and give you the flu shot. Dr. Drew, we appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
I don't know if you've been following Jimmy Kimmel. He has been trying to get Sean Spicer on the show.
Okay.
Trump's press secretary, former press secretary, and he's been tweeting about it and talking about it and getting him to
like
come
a on campaign.
Here. Yes.
Okay.
And he was on last night.
Oh.
And it was pretty fascinating. He introduced Sean Spicer, and Sean Spicer got applause, which was odd to him.
Is it weird for you to get applause when you walk out onto a stage? Because usually you're looking at all these grim-faced reporters.
Yeah, especially in California. But
Have you been getting... Have you been harassed?
No. It's been unbelievably pleasant since for last month. People have been very, very supportive. And that's, I think, very helpful to know. People have come out and said, thank you for your service. I didn't vote for the president. I'm not a Republican. But, you know, I appreciate you serving the country. And I think that gets back to what this should always be about, is that we have elections. They get decided. And then people of both parties should be able to serve this
country.
Are
you distancing yourself from the president right now?
Absolutely not. No, I'm not.
I'm just going to say no one's saying that.
You don't think people are saying,
no,
thank you for your service?
I think politics brings out the worst in people.
Sure.
And if you represent that guy and mm-hmm. you hate that guy, you don't go, hey, thanks for serving.
Yeah.
I don't think that's ever been said.
Yeah.
Do you remember right after President Trump got elected
mm-hmm.
and he was trying to put out these numbers of people that were at the inauguration?
Yes.
And that was pretty much Sean Spicer's pretty much first day.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't even know that he was going to have to brief the press on that topic when he showed up at work.
You get in there and it's the day after the inauguration, right?
Yes.
And you are charged with the job of going in front of the press and saying that the inauguration crowd was the biggest crowd, I think, ever, biggest audience.
Yeah, yes, I'm aware of it.
And, yeah. And
I appreciate the reminder of how it went down.
So, did the president himself, now, if it was up to you, would this even have been a topic?
You know, if it was up to me, I would have probably worn a different suit.
Uh-huh.
I thought I was going in on a Saturday morning to set my office up.
This is what he thought. He literally thought, I'm going to go make sure my office is in order so that when I start my job, I'll be ready.
Put out some pictures of the family, get some pens.
Computer, make sure the emails went out.
And somebody told you, you need to go out there and say
this. The president wanted to make sure that the record got set straight. And
why is he so concerned with size? Have you ever seen the president naked?
I have not.
You have not?
No.
Okay.
Can you imagine? You have to go out in front of the press. And by the way, that press corps, the White House, not fools.
He was set up to fail.
Yes.
His first day.
Yeah, 100%.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, Jimmy played Melissa McCarthy's very, very funny impression for Sean Spicer. And we find out in this clip that President Trump was mad at Sean Spicer for that. He was mad that Melissa McCarthy was making fun of Sean Spicer. That's craziness, right?
I'm here to swallow gum, and I'm here to take names.
I watch you laughing very hard.
Like a lot of money in therapy.
You thought that was funny, right?
That was kind of funny.
You like that? Did the president? He didn't think that was funny.
I don't think he found as much humor as
is
others.
He particularly annoyed by the fact that a woman was playing you?
I really didn't ask a ton of questions.
Yeah.
That may have been a contributing
What
factor.
A no-win situation that is. Like, they're making fun of me, and you're mad at me for it.
And this she wins great. An Emmy.
And then she won an Emmy.
That was last night's Jimmy Kimmel. If you record it, make sure and go back and watch it. Hmm. Yes?
I have a lot of feelings about Sean Spicer.
Yeah?
Because on one hand, he willfully lied about a lot to the press corps.
Every... really do.
No, not fact things that you
really.
Can fact check that you then bring back the next day and you lie again. He willfully lied about a lot. I don't think he's a truly bad guy, though.
Right. He's
and I thought
was
it was
the me of the White House.
I thought it was very mean when Trump wouldn't let him meet the Pope. Like, he's the staunch Catholic. All he wanted was to meet the Pope, and he made him stay behind, and I thought that was very mean.
Okay, so you like him or you don't like him?
I don't like him, but I don't hate him.
Thank you. Hello, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, LA NOC's alternative rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:40. Ralph Garman is here for a final look at the showbiz beat.
I feel bad for Cassini. Out there all by itself, out of gas. And said they're going to send it crashing into a planet now. See ya. Thanks for all your service. Now they're going to destroy you.
I don't feel like you feel bad.
Light years away from home. You just burn up and crash. Suck it, Cassini. That's what NASA's saying.
I don't think anyone at NASA is saying suck it.
I just hope it didn't collect enough information to become sentient. So it doesn't have AI now, and it recognizes that it's dying out there all by itself.
And then it realizes that we're trying to kill it, and it turns around and comes
back. Spins around. I'll show them.
Right?
Whoa. Ground control to Major Tom. Right?
Right.
Next thing you know, I don't like it like this, Hal. Boom! It's back! Cassini kicking ass, taking names. I'm going to write the screenplay.
Yeah,
right?
I'm into it.
You already did.
No. That's pretty much V'ger. It's pretty much the first Star Trek.
Is that right?
The Voyager gains enough information, it becomes sentient, and it's the only thing it wants to do is meet its maker. So it comes back around, it comes to Earth, it starts kicking ass.
And you're afraid that's going to happen for real.
Spock, Spock, we have to stop V'ger. V'ger turns out to be Voyager. You don't know, man.
I do know.
You don't know. Hey, Jim Carrey. Remember how you guys were saying how crazy he was? Oh, look at me. Oh, I don't. Nothing's for real. Oh, I hate Fashion Week.
Yep.
Well, crazy like a fox.
One of us thought he was doing.
Thank you. You're
an
right.
Impression.
Yes, and you're right, and I will accept your praise.
Ralph, it was me. I said he was doing an Andy Kaufman thing on the red carpet. That's what happened.
I mean, I said he was crazy.
And then I said it's all an attention grabbing facade.
Ralph, you weren't in here for the segment. I actually
buzzing
I
in my
said
earphones.
That.
Is anybody else have a problem with their earphones? The headphones. I got a malfunction. I think Cassini's coming back.
Oh, already? Wow.
Anyway, Jim Carrey just got signed to star in a new Showtime comedy series.
Okay.
Called Kidding.
Oh.
This will be his first foray into regular television since his days on the sketch show in Living Color. It's been that long since he's had a regular TV gig. The half-hour comedy will star Carrey as Mr. Pickles.
Uh-oh.
An icon of children's television who runs a multi-million dollar branding empire. So he's kind of like a Mr. Rogers, Captain Kangaroo type guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got this, he's got everything he wants, but then his family starts to implode and he goes into a crisis. And he's got to cope. So it sounds like it's a dramedy. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Here's a clip.
But I get all soapy. No. You know, soap suds all over me. And then my grandfather would take this hose and go like this with me. He'd squirt all over me.
Until no.
The soap, you know, he'd rinse the suds
off.
No,
Mr. Pickles.
Nope.
So you were playing?
No.
Yeah,
nope.
My grandfather and I did a lot of playing together.
Come on, Mr. Pickles.
Nope. How about some make-believe about hose?
Can we have your spare hoss? Oh, no, it was you, wasn't it?
That was me.
Yeah,
sure. Of course it was me. What do you think
what?
It was?
What
if that was
that?
A mistake? There used to be a recurring segment on the Kevin and Bean Show where every guest had to answer, what, five questions?
20.
20 oh. Questions. Jesus, yeah. No wonder that bit died.
Yeah. Well, and I was asking them as well, so that...
So Kevin would ask the guest, and who'd you have, Ice Cube on?
Oh, no, it was Snoop.
Snoop Dogg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Do we? We don't have that sound, huh? That's probably Bean has
I don't
that.
Know. I don't think so.
But one of the questions was... Can we have your spare hose?
Can we get some extra hose or something like that? But it was spelled H-O-S, and of course, I said...
It was spelled H-O-S?
It was.
Well, hose. You know, that's how you spell ho.
It was.
Right?
And I said hoss.
So Kevin said, can we have your spare hoss?
Oh.
And everybody went, what?
That
what
happened.
Is that? Why would you even say that?
Yeah, that...
It's not a thing. There's no Haas.
Yeah.
You knew reading that there's no such thing as Haas, right?
Sometimes my mind may not keep up with what's going on.
What?
I know that's surprising.
Hold the phone. We might have to go long. Because this is breaking news I think we should cover.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with that.
Can we have your spare Haas?
Oh. What did Snoop say?
Hose, he said.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he corrected me and said it right.
You knew what you were getting at. Yeah. Jennifer Lawrence. She's hooked on the Real Housewives show, apparently. She was talking to Jimmy Fallon on the Tonight Show and said that she was shocked and horrified to hear that Luann and Tom are divorcing after just 7 months. And she often gives producer Andy Cohen advice on how to run the reality show. That's how committed she is.
Wow.
I got to tell you, I always thought that she was the perfect woman. Until this.
Look, given my weakness for the Bachelorette and Bachelor in Paradise franchises, I can't judge her too harshly.
She has one flaw, so she's human.
She has a little drinking game she plays with Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. She says whenever Lisa Rinna calls her husband by his full name, Harry Hamlin, everyone has to finish their drink. I'm guessing that's a regular recurrence with her. Can you imagine if she said? So anyway, Harry Hamlin and I were going to dinner last night. Who does that?
I guess she does, yeah.
By the way, that's a great defense for when you get made fun of for anything. It's this drinking game.
Yeah.
Everybody goes, true. Oh, okay. That's a good reason.
Okay.
I drink heavily during The Bachelor, but there's no game to it.
Sure.
It's just glug, 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 glug.
Just get through it.
Of course. It's most nights, no matter what's on television. So. Today's celebrity birthday is Andrew Lincoln's 43 years old today. Sam Neill. How about good he was in Jurassic Park. Terrific in that film. He's also good in a rarely seen film called The Omen 2, where he plays Damien all grown up.
Oh, I know.
He's really good.
I remember that.
Yeah, 69 years old.
He's in Peaky Blinders.
Oh, my Lord.
Something wrong with your headphones again?
I got that buzzing again. It's just so strange.
Doesn't stop, does it?
Mike Catherwood said build a wall around Allie. That was pretty funny. Melissa Leo is 57 years old today. Oscar winner, Melissa Leo. Dan Cortez is 50 years old. Jamie Kaler, my good buddy, from, of course, My Boys on TBS for many seasons, but he's a very talented, funny comedian and actor. Celebrates his birthday today. And Beer Mug!
That's the life right there.
Yep.
That's the life.
Mm-hmm. Sad, laughter, crying.
That's the arts.
The arts. Beer Mug is the, it says here, sexiest man alive. After watching him power down chicken wings and donuts all morning.
Yummy.
Right?
I have to admit.
Sexiest man
alive.
Makes
it look pretty good.
Right?
Yeah. Beer Mug celebrates his 34th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show with beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning is an all-new Kevin and Bean show. It's Friday, so we've got the movie beat. R.J. Bell from Las Vegas will give us his picks for week two of the NFL. The star of American Assassin, which I'm so excited about, is awesome. Dylan O'Brien. He will be on the program tomorrow, and we've got your tickets for USC football and Prophets of Rage when they come here to K-Rock to the HD Radio Soundspace tomorrow morning on K-Rock.